Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Spray here, Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. We got some day baseball about to get underway. Actually, yeah, we're not live on YouTube, my apologies, but efforting.
Brandman's working on it.
He's working on it. He's in. He's working on it.
We'll be back. Don't worry.
We got some getaway baseball games going on early in the morning. Looks like, is that Skeens about to take the mound in Pittsburgh? He's getting ready to throw. My team sucks. They're about to play a game and not get swept, hopefully, by the Cincinnati Reds.
My team, thankfully, took care of business against the Marlins yesterday.
You got TCB against the Marlins. You got to do it. We're about 20, give or take.
20, yeah.
Have you reached the 20 threshold yet?
They've already played the Marlins twice. I am so tired of watching the Braves Marlins already. I hate that team.
I do too. They shouldn't exist.
It's not a hate because, like, they do actually. They're sneaky good, but I don't know any of their players.
No, it's all young guys that are on the cheap.
I hate the uniforms. Yeah. I see the
ballpark's
Braves Marlins.
Depressing. Oh, and when you play there's nobody there.
Yeah, it's Braves fans.
Yes, more Braves fans than there are Marlins fans.
They just drive down or they live there. Yeah. So I'm tired of watching my team play the Marlins.
Agreed. There's nothing aesthetically pleasing about watching the Marlins.
No, and I hate the Mets and the Phillies more, but at least I get up for the Braves playing the Phillies.
Yeah, you laugh at them when they lose. It's great. You hate them because they've been more relevant.
Yes.
And winning in Citi Field's funny because New York fans will boo their team, and same with Philly. Like, it's just different. It's a different animal. Yeah. Marlins shouldn't exist. That's definitely a fair takeaway. Lots to get to today. Somebody's going to get a red jacket at the end of the weekend. I know you're going to be glued to the RBC.
Red plaid jacket.
Red plaid jacket. RBC is teed off.
I will probably not be watching the RBC at all.
I don't blame you. We got Jason Minnix coming up at 8:30, and I do have another kind of spinoff segment on the Blazers that I saw yesterday. I was like, damn, that's interesting. So we'll get to that in a moment.
Oh.
This one might fire some people up. But I did see it, and I think it deserves to be brought up. Now, you don't have to criticize. We can, add the context maybe that is necessary. Hmm. There's a viral video going around baseball circles right now as it pertains to one person in the Northwest, and I want to know how we feel about this, okay?
Right. The Northwest, so Mariner thing.
Has to be a Mariner thing, right? There is a video that has gone viral, and I've seen a bunch of different baseball accounts pick this up and start to run with it because it was a random Mariner fan who found this and then sent it to the person, and now it has gone viral because it was tweeted directly at the person.
Hmm.
The Seattle Mariners, I'm assuming this was last night. Because, I believe this was last night. So
they blew the 6-0 lead.
Blew a 6-0 lead, right? They're up 6 now, then they blow the lead to the Padres. Near the end of the game, I think as the game is unwinding and they're starting to blow their lead and it's becoming evident, like, uh-oh, this might go in the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
There was a video that went viral of Angie Mentick, who is their sideline / occasional color analyst for Mariners baseball.
Oh, she's in the booth calling the baseball game?
Sometimes she is. Not in this instance, she's not. But she occasionally will do color for their game. She does pre and post and all that.
Okay.
How many games she call a year?
They kind of
split. They rotate in and out.
It's been like Dave Valley and her, and I can't remember who else, but basically it's split between Ryan Roland Smith. It's split between those three.
She's been around Mariner baseball forever.
Pre and post game, there were rumors, allegedly, back in the day, her and Brett Boone when she was Angie Arlotti. I've been told
that's how long she's been around. There were Brett Boone
2001.
Rumors. Yeah, it's been a minute.
It's been a while.
So she's been around a while. Most people know her. She's gone through some health issues, and we can get into that. But there was a video that went viral from a fan sitting right behind her as she's in that little cutout next to the dugout and all that. And she's next to her camera. She's got her headphones on, and she's typing into her phone. And the person zooms in, and you could see what she types in. She opens Google AI. And ask the question to Google AI, what are good questions to ask after a baseball team blows a game?
Hmm. Okay.
Essentially asking AI computer, please give me the questions to ask in the post-game press conference.
One, we don't know if she used any of the AI results.
She puts the phone down and the video cuts out. It does not show us what the results were to the question.
Look, AI is...
AI is a hot topic.
Well, it's in AI. Yeah, it is a very hot topic right now, especially in the Dalles.
Should I try this for the radio show tonight? What are good... I might actually try this and then tell you what it comes up with. What are good radio show topics for Portland, Oregon, Friday, April 17th?
I'm going to say it's going to be all Blazers.
I've used AI, ChatGPT, to write an update before.
Have you really?
Can I ask why? because out of curiosity.
I was running really short on time, and I was like, hey, so I took a couple hours one day because...
Sum up sports from yesterday in 1 minute.
What happened in the...
Well, basically, but you've kind of got to... The thing with ChatGPT is you got to curate it a little bit, so it's sum up sports.
It'll do a follow-up question.
Give me Portland, Oregon, and then it really, it took me a couple hours, but I got to the perfect 90-second like output of text, and it actually does work.
So the only time I've used ChatGPT, because that's the only one, if I'd use one, I will use.
Yeah.
The only time I've done that is for like exercise, health, diet stuff. And that's it. Now, I'm not going to sit here and also say and act like I ask all the right questions in an interview or I have all the right topics as a show host. Every single day, I question what we do.
Yeah.
I also love, what I love about doing this job is the human element of it. Mm-hmm. And I love how perfectly imperfect we can be. And so, yeah, I have shows where I'm like, ah, we didn't get to that topic today. Or like, oh, I should ask that question. I absolutely deal with it. But I like the human element of sometimes you're not going to nail it every time.
Yeah.
So I'm not like anti anybody wanting to use it for our job or any other field. Some people find it very helpful for what they're doing. I had my daughter's best friend's mom. They travel quite frequently internationally. They just went to Greece. They take random weekend trips to Paris. Like
what?
Taylor Swift concerts, dude.
What?
Yeah.
What do they do for work?
I don't want to discuss that.
I'm in the wrong line of work again.
So
learning
am I.
That twice this week.
So am I
need to be a sketch artist, a sculptor of statues, and evidently whatever they do.
Well, that being said, we talked about going to like Japan, and I've always wanted to do a Europe trip as well. And
right.
She told us that like over the last 2 years, she just uses ChatGPT to book her entire trip. And I said, what do you mean? And she goes, we type out where we want to go, and we want it quick, and we want the tickets, and what do we do? And it like literally bullet point by bullet point.
Here's your itinerary of what to do.
And it gives her the itinerary, almost like a travel agent, and it books it for her.
That to me is totally fair, and I don't have any issue with it, because that's a pain to do. You don't know a lot about the place that you're going. You don't have the knowledge of, you know, the do's and the don'ts. And so getting help and guidance on a trip like that, I view drastically different than asking it to help you do your job. Does that make sense?
Well, but how many people in whatever field they're in will ask it to either see or use? Like if you told me you ChatGPT'd a question for Eric Collins, I'd one go, really? For Eric Collins?
You couldn't come up with something?
Dan Lanning, maybe? Because it's, you know, you want that interview to be top tier, but like,
right.
You know, but I also wouldn't go, well, Dart's not doing his job anymore. We don't know if she used any of the questions, and I'll follow it up. Where are the Boozer brothers? Why are we recording somebody's screen?
Yeah, you got an issue with that.
About that issue?
Screen recording over the shoulder.
I find it odd that we look over somebody's shoulder, don't talk to them or tell them.
Right, and then tweet it at them.
Zoom into what they're looking at or reading.
Yeah.
And then we just post it onto the world. Like, is that not odd to you?
That's a fair takeaway. It's definitely an invasion of privacy. There's no doubt about it. I also, the follow-up, too, that I would have to your follow-up is, were you just filming, like, was it incidental? Were you filming
it
the...
It certainly feels weird.
The entire time and, like, waiting for something to happen, and then you zoomed in the second you saw that she was typing that in? I should also point out, I believe a couple of years ago, she had a stroke. Now, she's still mentally with it enough to obviously work. She's calling. She's a color analyst of some of their games. Like,
I don't care about the
health
thing.
It's not like a Lee Corso at the end of life thing where you can't put a sentence together.
Well, but she was there when it was Fox Sports whatever.
Fox Sports Net.
Net. That. Thank you. She's been there that long.
She's like,
to
Schultz's
101.
Way back in the day.
So, like, she didn't use ChatGPT then. She probably hasn't used it up until the last couple years, if she does use it at all.
Yeah.
You cannot be seriously trying to take down the career of somebody that respected that's been doing it that long
based on one video.
Yeah.
And I will say, actually, if you're talking about like 20 years ago compared to now, I don't know the exact staffing situation of newsrooms or like reporters, but a lot of times back in the 2000s, budgets were a lot bigger, TV, local, you know, national, whatever. And a lot of those reporters or sideline people had like a producer with them to help them with questions.
Dude, you know how many radio hosts in the country?
She doesn't have that now.
Like, I'm not going to name names, but you can probably guess how many national hosts basically have their shows written. We met a producer on a national radio show. Me and Dirt went down to Vegas years ago in 2016. And we met somebody and they were bragging about how they were the creator of a segment on a national radio show. Like, he was wearing a suit. We were in t-shirts. We're in a casino. Mm-hmm. And he goes, you know, I created this segment. And we were like,
who cares?
Cool. I've seen that segment A million
different ways. You just called it something different.
Just called it something different. And, like, literally write scripts and write shows out for national sports radio shows. Why is that any different than this? I'd argue it's worse.
It's a great point.
Like,
it's a great point.
You and I talk about segments and topics, but we also come into the show, you not knowing where I'm going to go at 6:45 and me not knowing where you're going to go at 9:15 sometimes.
Yeah, so the beauty of the surprise.
Keep
you on your toes.
I'm not criticizing Angie Mintek, who's been doing the job for 30 years because she was caught as somebody invaded her privacy, looking to ChatGPT in a just emotionally depleting moment for a franchise.
6-0 went lead and you blow it 7-6.
On the road against a good team, she saw what ChatGPT would recommend. We don't know if she used the question.
We have no idea. The video cuts off. Next time you illegally film somebody's phone, at least get the full context of the story, right? Tell me what the were they good questions? I have follow-ups for the person that was taking this video.
It's no different than you running for local office in 15 years because you're feeling motivated and driven, and guess who leaks something to the Oregonian? You in a cheerleader outfit in our office.
Oh, my God.
No context. Here was Dirt.
Dirt's a cross-dresser? Now I'm Christy Gnome's husband? Is that what you're telling me? No!
Unfortunately,
yours are real, though.
Yeah, well, that's true, yeah. Man, they're big and they're spectacular.
I saw Dirt wearing something. No, if this were somebody like Mina Kimes, you know, I think people would probably write it off as like, she's busy, she's doing all these kinds of things. I feel like
I disagree with that. I think Mina Kimes is a lightning rod, and if Mina Kimes was doing this of like, what's a proper way to attack a cover three defense? Or like asking some football related question.
How do I explain the nickel package?
Because there's already a segment of people that I think anytime Mina Kimes says anything, they immediately go, you didn't play football. You don't know.
Well, that's stupid.
You're a lady.
Those people are dumb.
But you know that's the majority of the voices that echo on this stuff. It's no different than Russini being Vrabel and Schefter saying, thank you, Mr. President or Mr. Editor.
Right.
And one's quitting and the other one's elevated to every national platform show on ESPN.
Right.
I mean, it is what it is, guys. Misogyny's real.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to sugarcoat this.
I think the fear, though, that I would just point out, and this isn't an Angie Mintek thing, I have no clue how often she does it, and I don't even know the outcome of the video, whether she asks the questions or not. There is that fear out there that I have about society. We're already pretty stupid to begin with, that when you take away people's ability to critically, it's not that hard of a question. Like, you've been doing this for 30 years. How many post-game press? The Mariners have lost a lot of heartbreaking games, breaking news.
Yeah, a lot of 1-0 losses.
They've been one of the worst organizations in baseball over the last 30 years. They've never been to a World Series. Like, you're in your sweet spot, baby. Like, this, if you wanted to ask, what do I ask after winning an ALCS, because you've never experienced that before, it would be a little bit more understandable. But this is the world you've lived in for 30 years. And I think there's that fear of losing our ability to critically think of...
Just think of our own thoughts.
Yes, like, to your point on coming up with topics or writing your show, like, we're not going to script it out and we're not going to search what should we talk about on the radio, because that is something that I hope sets us apart, is our ability to not just, you know, talk about the topics.
You just want to feel like yourself doing it, not
yes,
what the robot tells you
exactly
to do.
Yeah. And so, like, I think there's very different examples of using AI, and for travel purposes, or you're in a pinch for a script, like, I think that's a little bit different than an open-ended 15-minute segment that you need for a sports update. That's a little bit different of just facts, bullet points, and get it over with, as opposed to an open-ended conversation about a differing topic. That's the overarching fear that I have about society, and so I saw it, and I was like, that's kind of interesting. That's not that hard to come up. How do you guys overcome this? You know, like, there's not that many things that you can ask after blowing a 6-0 lead.
No doubt.
And I don't think a computer's going to help
you
with that.
Like, that's about it, right?
Yeah,
like,
it sucks.
We don't know if she used
We also don't know. And the only other thing I'll add to this, too, to kind of fly in the face of that, is that I have watched far too many press conferences in my life, and I still do. I just watched the Morgan ones yesterday, and we'll play some audio from one here in a little bit, unless you want to save that for the magic hat. But There are a lot of, like, the idea of, can you ask a bad question? The answer is yes.
Oh, damn right. I write my questions down because I'm scared that I'll ask a bad question. Yeah. You gotta have some sort of preparation.
Really bad ones. Really bad ones.
I've done it too many times to count.
That's why I don't ask questions when I go to press conferences. I haven't been to one in a hot minute.
Because you're afraid to be like...
I just don't want, you know, it's just like, there's nothing that I'm going to ask here that's, unless I ever come up with something that's like, ooh, thought bubble, that's a great idea. What else? Everything that I would ask is already going to be asked. There's only so many things that you can ask after a game or after a practice.
It's weird because you do a radio show in a way, because I've been to the press conferences when I used to go to the Blazer games as a media member.
Mm-hmm.
I asked questions during their playoff series against the Thunder in those press conferences. Like, I didn't, you know, care. But in a weird way, you feel more nervous asking a question in that setting than you do if you were interviewing Terry Stotts on your radio show the next day.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember thinking, like, if I had Terry Stotts on the phone tomorrow on the radio show,
I wouldn't feel that way.
I wouldn't feel this way at all. But, like, right now, for some reason, maybe it's because your peers can see you.
You're in front of all these other national journalists, too.
You don't
people
want your
who
voice
do this.
To crack. And yeah. You got to do the
name identification.
You have to say,
Brandon Sprague, 105.1 FM, the fan.
Right, exactly. You got to do all that stuff.
It's how do you feel about...
Damn it. Hey, Terry. How do you guard PG?
Hey, you guys, now that I had one of my questions, actually, the answer from Dan Lanning went viral a couple years ago, as Dirt pointed out to me. So should I bill myself now as a question asking
I think you should. What was the question
expert?
Again? I don't remember.
That was something about, like, how their offense ended up, like, succeeding with Bo Nix, like, working with new weapons. And because it was Bo working in his brother, if you didn't know, and then a couple of new wide receivers.
Wait, Tez? You're telling me Tez and Bo are related?
I have no idea.
What?
So, yeah. And it's just, whatever, breaking it happens. News. They're good questions. They're literally the same version of three questions in good press conferences, and it just it is what it is.
I don't ever want to judge anybody too harshly for some things, but, like, if you more so told me, how do I act at the bar tonight between 8 p.m. and 10 p.m., and how do I make friends, and you're using the chat bot for all that, that's a little different to me than, I don't know.
Yeah, agree. There's different uses of it and different ways that it can and cannot impact your
I just
life.
Like to give somebody with 30 years of, like, real experience on that job maybe a benefit.
The benefit of the doubt.
Maybe
that's
she was
takeaway.
Just curious to see what a robot would say about blowing a 6-run lead.
You never know, man. You never know.
What's the most devastating loss that you can remember as a sports fan?
As a sports fan?
Yeah.
Game 7.
Blazers?
The Blazers. National Championship. Dyer was down.
What's a good question? I'm on it right now.
Mariners to
good
the Astros. Playoffs 3 years
after,
ago.
Yeah.
Or your Blue Jay loss in Game 7 last year. That's got to take the cake, right? Is it different because you went further? That was Game 7
no,
of the
No, that
LCS.
Was. Yeah, because we were 8 outs away.
They were eight outs away from the World Series.
That hurt.
Yeah.
I asked, what's the best question after a basketball team loses a 13-point lead in Game 7?
It better be a really good question.
No, it's literally everything you would think to
generic.
Ask.
Generic. Yeah. Well, this is what you should say.
How do you bounce back from this? What was Game 7, you jackass? There's no bouncing back from it. The season's over.
In a Game 7 environment, how do you keep composure when a lead starts to shrink?
Well, clearly we can't answer that because we didn't do it.
Did you feel the pressure shift as they started closing that gap?
There it is. Yeah, at what point did you start to feel it slipping
Looking
away?
Looking back, is there anything you'd adjust in terms of rotations or play calling during this run? What changed for your team after you built your lead? Where did you feel the momentum start to shift in the second half?
I had a long stance for a while with Amazon. I was one of the last people to use it. Like, I was adamant, I'm never going to use it. And then once you jump in, you're like, damn it, that's really easy. Shows up at your house the next day. Like, I held off on getting Amazon Prime for a long time. I have this streak going with AI. I've never used AI for anything.
Oh, I've used it. Yeah, I'll use it.
I'm not criticizing anybody who has. I have this, like, I'm not going to. It's like my moral stance, and now I'm worried, knowing my stances over the years, a la Trulies and Amazon Prime, that, like, 3 years from now, I'm going to be using it for my day-to-day routine.
Is it wrong to steal a rubber glove in a doctor's
yes!
office?
Yes! What do they tell me on that? Is that a yes or a no?
Let me see.
It's not wrong, damn it. If they answer yes on this, I will never use it in my life. For anything.
Short answer is yeah, it's still wrong. Yeah. Even if it seems small, taking something without permission is theft, regardless of value.
Shut up.
A single rubber glove
shut your mouth.
Might feel insignificant, but in a medical setting, those supplies are meant for patient care and are tracked for hygiene and cost reasons. Not to mention, did you only take one? And if you did, you've now thrown off the amount in the box.
I know I'm not the only one, so I probably evened it out from somebody else. Computer's a bitch. Learn that in that segment. We'll support Angie Mentick here. That video went viral. Let's get to how about the spotlight? Can you feel it next on the fam? Well, do you like being in the spotlight, Brandon Sprague? Do you like when the light shines upon you?
No.
You don't like being the focal point?
Well, what's funny is, like, I like to have, like, open-ended, ridiculous conversations in social settings with people. Like, I'll ask people super uncomfortable questions.
Yes, you will.
It always starts with they'll laugh or they'll chuckle, and then somebody will be like, what a weird question. And then you'll look up the clock, and we have now been talking for 35 minutes. So clearly it's something you've either thought about.
You laughed at the notion, and now here we are still debating the same issue.
But I've also been at things where I've had like somebody with me awkwardly try to point out what I do, and I hate it. I will literally walk away.
Just don't going in the opposite direction.
Yeah, because there's people like, dude, you should be getting more free stuff, or you should try to do that. And I'm like, you're an idiot.
Yeah,
and they'll just put me in uncomfortable spots, and I will walk away.
Well, the reason I bring it up is that our beloved Portland Trailblazers. Now, how much of this is because of us? I don't know. Probably very little, but I don't care.
Some are saying it's all of it.
It's every part of it.
Good job, guys.
Our beloved Portland Trailblazers are getting the spotlight treatment in the NBA playoffs, and by that I mean their first two games. So Sunday night is game one of the series. They play in San Antonio. The game is on NBC. I don't know if you're aware of that, but it's on NBC. You can also watch it on Peacock. And then on Tuesday, they play again in the 5 p.m. primetime window. Is the tip 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. East. It's a perfect primetime window for each coast. That game also NBC and Peacock. And guess who's calling our first two games? The number one crew on NBC.
Mike Tirico. And the Carmel Cat.
The Caramel Cat himself, Reggie Miller. Also Jamal Crawford. For some reason, Jamal Crawford's doing game one, but not game two. They're moving him out of the Houston-LA series. So we get the three-man booth, the prime NBC three-man booth.
Yeah, right,
Tirico, Reggie Miller, and Jamal Crawford for game one of the series, and then Tirico and Miller for game two. And I think it highlights, like we can joke about the level of impact we have or don't have in this, just the anticipation of the guy we're going against and a reminder of how many eyeballs will be on this series because it's the first time he's ever played in the NBA playoffs.
Well, you call it the Wemby bump. I call it the Denny bump.
It's the Denny bump.
And, you know, I think Denny is the reason we are here.
I think it's the Jan Hansen bump. They know how big this is going to be in those Chinese markets, and NBC's capitalizing.
We know one owner of the Blazers is definitely going to be watching intently.
Yes.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
It's cool to get the spotlight. I do, in all seriousness, largely agree. It's more about the two than it is the seven here.
I mean, it's Wemby becoming the face of the league.
Suggesting it has anything to do with the Blazers is pretty laughable. If we were the two, I would agree. Then, yeah, we're the reason. But,
and I don't think this is any given two, right? Like, not all twos are created
equal.
Well,
this game was set before the opponent was determined.
For San Antonio.
The schedule was determined. Like, when we looked it up going into the Phoenix play-in, it was San Antonio
was playing the late game. On NBC.
6 o'clock on NBC. Yeah. So it was already determined that it was going to be them.
And it would have been them whether it was Phoenix or not.
We talked about earlier how you define a superstar versus a star in the NBA. Mm-hmm. And many may think Denny is a superstar now.
Yeah.
We went through and rattled off all the people we think we define as superstars in the association. And it's about 15 players deep. Denny might be one of the 15. But of all of them, and I'm going to exclude LeBron and Steph for obvious reasons. They have been carrying the league for over a decade, right?
Yes, the window is closing.
LeBron for two. If you exclude the old... Oh, I forgot KD on that list.
Yeah, people were texting in KD earlier, but I think
I apologize.
He falls in. He is a superstar, but he falls into that category.
So if I exclude Steph, KD, LeBron, the obvious three, is Wemby the biggest superstar in the league? Is he bigger than Ann Edwards? Is he bigger than Nikola Jokic? Is he bigger than SGA?
My answer right now would be no, but open for changing it depending on how the next 2 months go. Because the NBA has always been a sport about reaching your validation through postseason success.
The grind and the championship chase.
I think San Antonio will make it to the conference finals. I tend to believe that they'll get there. Maybe Jokic says no, and Jokic is my guy. I love Jokic. So maybe they beat him in the second round of the playoffs, and it's similar to, you know, OKC, that first time they made the playoffs. Remember, it was a one seed. What did they lose in the second round? And then everybody's like, blow it up. And then they came back last year and they won the NBA title. So maybe that's the way it goes. Mm-hmm. But the NBA, in order to be to that level, you need validation in the playoffs. And so as of now, I would say no. But if he dominates his way to an NBA finals this year and his first year in the postseason, how is the answer to that question no?
So, like, if these are these the four outside of the three, Steph, LeBron, KD, that you would put on a poll question? Jokic, Wemby, Luka, Ant? Or is there, like, a Tatum, a
Tatum,
Giannis?
No. Giannis, I think he has not had a good enough last handful of years in terms of health, availability, and team success.
Uh-huh.
That I think 5 years ago he would have been unquestionably on that list, but right now, no.
Okay.
So I can't think of another one.
Four?
I think those are the four. Okay. Who are your four again? Give me the four one more time.
Jokic, Wemby, Luka, Ant. I was going to do, which of these four options do you view as the biggest superstar in the NBA?
I think that's fair.
Obviously. Oh, you know what? SGA.
The two-time MVP.
We have to put that, because I will say this.
He has to be on there.
Coaching basketball. I'm coaching now at a great club called Meadow Park. They're great. Like, I'm seeing so many more in the last few months, just being around tournaments and coaching kids. Dude, the SGA jerseys.
Everywhere.
They're popping up.
Yeah.
I saw like six of them at the Hoop Summit. There's a couple kids at the club I'm teaching at that they wear them. Like, SGA jerseys are...
You get an MVP and a title, man. Again, validation through success.
The blue SGA Thunder uniform is starting to be seen.
Yeah. That's a hard one because it's not fair to exclude one of those guys.
Well, who would you exclude of the four between Jokic, Wimby, Luka, and Ant? We have to put SGA on this. This was an egregious mistake.
I would have to... I hate doing it. I would have to take Ant off.
Really?
Hasn't been to an NBA Finals, and he hasn't won an MVP.
He's been to back-to-back conference finals.
Yes, he has. Every single guy has been to an NBA Finals and won an MVP. Luka's won an MVP, right?
Wimby hasn't.
Ah, touche.
Wimby hasn't even been to the playoffs.
Touche.
But I do think because of how
because
vocal
of who he is, you have like
I think he has to be on this.
Yeah, it's a tough.
So that would be my question.
There's no right or wrong.
They were
going to
get the primetime spot regardless of Phoenix or Portland
because of Wimby.
Because of Wimby, and I think the league, because of his attitude, because of how thoughtful he is, because of how much he gives a damn in the All-Star game and the NBA Cup, I think the league knows internally, shift it. It's going to shift out of LeBron in a year or two.
He's bigger and stronger than SGA.
Like,
he's more unique.
Yes.
Like,
He is far more interesting than Jokic.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's better, but he's far more interesting.
Without a doubt.
Luka, I mean, half the time he's bitching and whining about foul calls.
Yeah, SGA's doing the foul baiting stuff a little bit that can lead to controversy
and
debate.
He's polarizing, and Ant is great when he's winning, but are you watching Minnesota games that aren't on national television with stakes? And also, his off-the-court stuff has been a little problematic for the league.
Just a hair.
I think the league is absolutely internally shifting towards, we need this guy to step up and at least get to a conference finals this year. It'd be massive for them, because I do think at the league, I think it's him more than other players.
Without a doubt. It'd be really funny if we won game one. All that attention, that big spotlight, NBC, Tirico, everybody there, and you're down 0-1.
Has that spread changed at all?
It's still at 10.5 last I looked. Speaking of which, let's go to San Antonio. Jason Minnick's our buddy down in San Antonio. We haven't talked to him in a while. Now it's time. The Blazers and Spurs getting ready for game one. What are the thoughts down there and the excitement level for it? We'll talk to Minnick's next. First, here's Schultz with SportsCenter. All right, welcome back in. We got a couple of NBA odds and ends to get to in a moment. But it feels like we're turning back the clock, does it not? We used to talk to this guy quite often, whether they were whooping our ass in the playoffs or stealing our best players in free agency.
That's usually how it went down.
Usually. This has been a very one-sided relationship here, but you never know. Maybe this is the time that we change the narrative, even though we saw the stat yesterday. We've never won a postseason game in San Antonio. 0-10 all time.
Mm-hmm.
Time to change that. And joining us now is our good friend from San Antonio, ESPN Radio down in San Antonio, Jason Minnick, at Jason Minnick on Twitter. Jason, good morning to you. What's the feeling in San Antonio? Antonio, you guys are back in the playoffs.
Well, you know, we are back in the playoffs, and I'm excited that you guys would want me back on your show because, as you've said, it's been fairly one-sided. How's Scoot working out for you? No, I'm kidding.
Come on, Minnick! Right out of the gate!
Has been fantastic. And what's interesting, though, some of the little nuggets you just dropped, I did not realize until this playoff series was set the other day, that in three of the four times the Spurs and Blazers have met in the playoffs, the Spurs have ended up in the NBA Finals, twice winning it. You know, the greatest shot in Spurs history, the Memorial Day miracle from Sean Elliott in 1999 outstretched arms of one Rasheed Wallace. It's incredible. I'm glad you guys are having me back.
All right, thanks for joining us, Minnick.
Yeah,
we appreciate
it. Great chatting, and have fun watching the series. We'll talk to you later.
You can gloat, and we can be your lucky rabbit's foot back in the playoffs and the history of all of that. We were one ping pong ball away from having your situation, and I hate how hodgepodge, kind of ritzy you sounded just there on the Wimby Scoot stuff. It hasn't gone great, but we got ourselves a Denny. Shaking in your boots about Denny Avdia. Let's admit it.
You know, it's interesting because in reality, the year that Portland is having this year is the kind of season we in San Antonio expected the Spurs to have this year. You go back at the beginning of the year, we thought, all right, can they be a play-in team? Maybe playoffs, a fifth, sixth seed. Nobody saw a 62-win season, the second seed battling with Oklahoma City for the one seed. This Spurs team this year is far overachieved expectation. It's been pretty incredible.
Well, now our entire audience hates you, and it's great to have you back. That's why we love bringing you on.
Right.
Let me ask you this. So to your point on the expectations coming in, because I don't remember what I thought about San Antonio. I knew it was interesting and like, man, Wemby, if he stays healthy, we knew what they were capable of. But I don't
West Conference Finals.
You did preseason. I don't remember if, you know, if I picked a certain seeding or if I thought two seed. The expectations have to evolve as the year goes on, but they're also an interesting team because there's very little playoff experience on the roster. And we kind of saw this from, you know, OKC 2 years ago comes out of nowhere. They're the one seed in the Western Conference. And then I believe they lost in the second round, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
And then there was this talk of like, well, should they make a move, blah, blah, blah. And then the next year they come back and win the title. Have the expectations shifted? Is it a we're playing with house money because we've already exceeded them? Like, what is the thought now that the playoffs are starting about how far people expect this team to go?
You know, in reality, it's mixed. I mean, this season has already been a success, far exceeds expectations, but the goalposts have moved where it was, hey, get into the playoffs and get some of that experience, and then next year look out, kind of like what Oklahoma City did. They do lack playoff experience. I mean, you know, Harrison Barnes and Luke Kornet are the only dudes with any postseason experience, but
right.
Maybe this team is too young and dumb to understand what that means, but... And again, you know, Steph Castle won a national championship at UConn. Wemby playing in the gold medal game in the Olympics. They do have guys with big game spotlight experience, but it's not the NBA playoffs, the physical play, the grueling nature of it. But I look at this team, guys, and tell me who's going to beat them four times. That said, I look at Oklahoma City play and I say, well, who's going to beat that team four times? But the way this Spurs team has played since the beginning of February, the expectations have changed here in San Antonio. And I do think nationally that while they don't have the playoff experience, and we all kind of feel like everybody needs that, who's to say they can't go win the championship because they are just so deep and so consistent. And they've been playing that way since February 1st. Yeah. It is pretty remarkable that if one guy has an off night, somebody else is going to pick up the slack. They're not reliant on one or two guys.
Yeah,
I'm just kind of curious, man. You've been around that market a long time. You've been able to cover some pretty legendary players, and you've had different versions, right? Like Robinson comes through there, and then you guys get Duncan, and then you had this kind of Duncan Ginobili thing, Parker thrown in there, and then, oh, here's Kawhi Leonard, and then he leaves. And then I'm just, of all the superstars, what is the most – what's the biggest difference aside from the height, like the physical nature of them? What's the biggest difference being around a Wemby versus all the other ones that have come through San Antonio?
You know, it's interesting, and it's hard to compare Wemby with, you know, like David Robinson wasn't around during the social media era, but
right.
Great public speaker, great interview. Timmy, not one that attracted or looked for the spotlight. He avoided it, right? So, you know, the Spurs are... you know, kind of unknown because they don't let a lot of people in. Wemby embraces it. Wemby is just such a unique individual. He goes to bed at 9 o'clock. He talks about it. He said yesterday that he did not watch the Phoenix-Portland game because it was past his bedtime. He goes to bed at 9 o'clock. He is a machine, guys. It's ridiculous. But he's also a very curious guy, and he's open about it. But, you know, while he's 22 years old, he has been in this spotlight over in France since he was a teenager, and he embraces the social media. He understands the fame and the attention, not just because he's tall, but he understands just how unique and good that he is. But he's just very curious about so many things. You know, you saw him probably the other day doing math in his head. You know, I was trying to figure out how to do that on a calculator, and he was nailing everything. But he's thought about it. You know, when Jared Weiss from The Athletic asked him about MVP and said, give me three things, you know, most NBA players, most players in any sport would give you some BS cliche answer. And he gave a well thought out answer. He wasn't really campaigning for himself, but he was, but he answers questions with good, thoughtful answers. Mm-hmm. And he's not talking in 15-second cliche sound bites. And I think that's one of the differences. But we see that with a lot of European players not just Wemby, where they will give you great answers. They'll all make the all-interview team. Manu Ginobili was that way with the Spurs, and I'm sure, you know, when they're in Portland, some of the European guys are far better interviews than the American guys, just because they'll give you real answers and not talking cliches.
Yeah, no doubt about that. What are they? How does he sleep in a bed on the road? What do they do?
Oh, I know the answer to this.
Oh, tell me.
So somebody looked this up because they want, and not just with him, he's 7'4". There's 6'10".
Like, yeah, there's a lot of guys. Like, yeah, you're not fitting in a hotel bed.
The teams have bed extensions that they bring with them to travel, and they put them at the foot of the beds, and so they extend out, and now the king-size bed goes out to like 9 feet long.
A double king-size bed.
It's almost like, yeah, not quite a double king, but yeah.
I have that problem at 5'10 pretty often. Last one.
Yeah, as a tall 5'7 guy, yeah. I don't know what you're talking about.
I was going to say, my coach just called himself 5'10.
Hey.
Heels.
I got a new pair of shoes that gives me an extra 2 inches, all right? Don't be sleeping on my height. How do you think it goes, Minix? Or is it a clean sweep, gentleman sweep? Blazers steal a couple of games? What's your feeling? How does it play out, game 1 Sunday night?
It's Wemby's first playoff game. To give you an idea of the excitement level, and again, it's been 7 years since the Spurs have had a playoff game, and really, you go back, I mean, when they won the title in 14, the playoff appearances after that, you knew they weren't a championship-level team. But there used to be a time in San Antonio where they couldn't sell out games 1 or 2 or the first round because people would save their money for the Western Conference Finals or the NBA Finals. We also have a 10-day party going on in San Antonio called Fiesta that happens every year, and that's a huge deal, and people would go to Fiesta events as opposed to playoff games. Game 1 sold out in seconds, yeah. And I would imagine that it's not going to be a great game. And no, I just don't know that Portland has the horses to keep up with San Antonio when San Antonio is rolling and they are deep. You know, the focus will be on Wemby. Steph Castle is a great lockdown defender. De'Aaron Fox is a true point guard as a distributor. Keep an eye on Julian Champagne and him hitting threes, just very consistent. Keldon Johnson, who should be sixth man of the year, accepting a different role on this team, coming off the bench. He has been incredible. I mean, sweep, maybe 1, but an overall great competitive series, I don't see that happening.
Yeah, well, if we're looking for a positive in the outcome of this series, is that we're all going to hate San Antonio again the way that we used to, because it's been a while.
Again,
it's nice to be back.
Yeah.
Jason Minix from San Antonio, ESPN San Antonio, good friend of the show, at Jason Minix on Twitter. Enjoy the series, my man, and I'm sure we'll talk again soon. Thanks, as always, for the time.
Appreciate you guys.
There you go. Jason Minix from San Antonio.
We need to pull the beginning of that. He had an answer that sounded like the most Lake Oswego.
Oh, it absolutely did.
Just his, we've got Wemby.
How's Scoot working out for you?
Scoot's going fantastic.
I mean, if you are looking for a silver lining, it is that. I haven't hated the Spurs in a while. It's kind of like the Patriots when they went in that weird era of like.
I'm kidding.
God. I mean, not great, Jason. Thank you for asking if you want to know the answer.
We were 1.
Remember when we won those 4 games before the All-Star break and people yelled at me? Remember that?
Yeah.
Thanks, Anfernee Simons.
I think those people texted in yesterday.
Probably talking to us about how we're going to win
the
series. The
Wemby thing.
No, they did not bring that one up.
One number away.
I'll never forgive Anfernee Simons for that. He's dead to me.
Hey, by the way.
For the entirety of my life for those 4 games.
We still mad about the Anfernee Simons-Drew Holiday exchange? Or has that worked out well for us?
Where's he playing now?
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. Is he going to get a $100 million deal from Portland tomorrow? Or?
That feels good. Let the hate flow through you. San Antonio, welcome back.
Look, I question the Drew Holiday thing. I still don't know how it's going to age in 2 years, but like,
that's the
now,
ultimate question.
Dude,
he is unquestionably a better basketball player than Anfernee Simons.
As good as Denny's been, Tumani's been great. Like,
he impacts winning in so many different ways as opposed to Anfernee's, who has occasional nights where he goes for 28 points.
Chucker.
And outside of that,
yeah,
no other impact on the basketball game. That was pretty clear and easy to see in the time. Jason Minix, allow the hate to flow through you, game 1, Sunday night. Couple of quick NBA updates, and then we'll get to the Magic at top of the hour. Back after this on The Fan. Brand man trying to challenge my status is 5'10". I'm just telling
you. Eye to eye.
We're going eye to eye. Thank you. Witness, eye to eye. Eye to eye. He's 5'10". I'm heightening, and I'm not ashamed to admit it.
Oh.
It's real to me, damn it. We got a lot to get to. Magic Hat coming up. Not a lot of time here. I will pass along a quick note. I don't know if there's a full story or segment on it, but I did find it interesting. We talked about it in the last couple of weeks leading into the end of the NBA regular season.
Yeah.
Officially, it has been announced that the NBA and the Players Association have ruled in favor of both Luka Doncic and Cade Cunningham.
As they should.
So they were challenging the extraordinary circumstances challenge to the 65-game award rule.
Yep.
Of not being able to be All-NBA team, MVP honors, and all that kind of stuff. I don't think either one's going to win the MVP, but they both have a case for, obviously, All-NBA teams. Mm. They both played 64 games on the year. Challenged, like, dude, we're one game short, and we had legitimate injuries. Luka missed a couple of games, I think, for the birth of a kid, too. He went home to Slovenia, is that where he's from? Slovenia, for the birth of his child. So they were granted that exemption, and so they will now, I don't know how this impacts, if at all, Denny and his status, but you now have two guys who were maybe ineligible
well,
now.
If you took them off, officially you're going to have two players that suddenly might get bumped down.
That's what I'm saying. Like, is Denny one of the guys that gets bumped down?
If you still have voting open for the play-in,
mm-hmm.
People are swayed so easily. That if you watch a guy drop 41-12-7 in a must-win game on the road to get into the playoffs,
yeah.
I think he'll end up doing it, but I also, we said this
Who
going
had a better
in,
year, him or Cade Cunningham?
Cade Cunningham.
Did he? The numbers were probably pretty identical, if I'm not wrong.
I understand that. Did we have Detroit as the one seed?
We did not, no.
Right. Okay, so, like, I'm not saying Denny isn't worthy of being
More assists per game, similar rebounds, so yeah, similar points, too.
And Luka Doncic, I believe, led the league in scoring?
Yes, he did.
So, both of them are in. It's just a matter of, like, who decided and who waited to watch and is going to tweak because, oh my God, what a performance by him.
Yeah.
He's going to be running that line, man. All the stuff I had heard of people that do, like, NBA podcasts when they were going through their All-NBAs, he was not on a majority of them. He was kind of starting to be left out. I just think that stretch that he missed with the back stuff, thank God he was able to come back and be all right. But I think because of that stretch, there was that portion of people that were watching everybody else. Like, Steph Castle's a good one. Steph Castle is going to be right on that line as well, fighting for a lot of voters. But I think ultimately he'll make it.
Yeah. We'll have to wait and see on that front. But I think the NBA made the right call here. Luka and Cade, 64 games, legitimate reasons that they didn't get to 65. One
These
game.
These were no-brainers.
Yeah, if it's 57 games, it's a different conversation. They were one away.
Yeah.
Cade came back late in the season after his collapsed lung. So no-brainers. Yep. We'll see how it impacts everybody else further down the line. And I think it also adds to the note of, we talked about at the time, do they need to change this? As long as you're willing to operate like this, there's no need to change it, right? There will be some circumstances. If you allow for a challenge process, review them fairly and say, okay, you have a legitimate argument, you can be awarded, then I have no issue with the 65-game threshold.
Yeah, I know there's like a, I think it's a 3-game. I don't remember what it is, but like there's a zone, like if you get into it, you're worthy of being evaluated.
Right.
I said they should tweak it. I probably went extreme when I said it at 55, and I understand why people wouldn't want that. Barkley's out here saying, shut up about 65 is too many games. Okay, Charles, NBA is actually a lot harder than when you played, but all right, I digress. If you're within like 5 to 7 games, I think you should have that kind of like that window.
Be able to challenge it and then take it case by case. Not everybody's going to get approved and accepted.
No, yeah.
But these two, I think, were most that are two that most of us could look at and say they have a legitimate
argument. If they're one game short, it's a no-brainer.
Right. Luka Doncic not being on an All-NBA team this year would be really stupid.
Same
and
with
Detroit
Cade
is the number one seed in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
So it makes a lot of sense. A lot to get to in the final hour of the show. Comments from a certain quarterback. We'll talk about that. But we'll start, though, as we always do on Thursdays, the Magic Hat around the corner next on The Fan.